Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it, the Daily Daily Caller podcast for the 7th day of August, 2019. It's a Wednesday, hump day. We're halfway to Saturday, or Friday, halfway to the weekend, whatever. I'm drunk. No, I'm not. I'm Derek Hunter, though. That I can vouch for. I am your host. Thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for doing all those good things and sharing on social media and all that stuff. It only works. This only happens. The show only grows because of you and spreading the word and telling your friends and all that good stuff. So I appreciate the hell out of every last one of you. Thank you. And continue to email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. I'll respond as best I can, as quickly as I can. It's just been a hella busy week. Going to bed at 3, getting up at 6:30, then doing 3 hours of radio, filling in for Chris Plant, then, you know, 2 columns during the week, another one for, never mind, you don't care, it doesn't matter, I just keep doing what I do, I'm not, it ain't breaking rocks, let me put it that way, it's not roofing, I've done roofing, this is much less satisfying than roofing, but you're not nearly as tired or sunburnt at the end of the day. It's kind of weird. I had this conversation with somebody the other day who does this for a living, too, except they're on the radio. So they're getting paid. And we're talking about when you did these jobs, these old jobs and everything, and how much more difficult it was. And, oh, man, it was a pain. And, boy, you feel like you, at the end of the day, you want to just crack a beer and lay in a hammock. And it's tough. It's tough 40 hours a week up on a roof, 50 hours a week up on a roof in a 100-degree day. But there's a weird sense of satisfaction that comes along with it, where at the end of the day, you can look back and say, I did that. There's tangible proof. I did something with my hands. Maybe this is unique or rare. I don't know. I don't think so. People I've talked to about it all kind of have the same feeling that when, at the end of the day, it's different when you talk for a living, when you write for a living, when you're sort of a pseudo pundit for a living. At the end of the day, you really have no idea if you've made any impact. Politics is a game of inches most of the time, and it moves along at a snail's pace. Whereas if you got to put down 3 rows of insulation on a flat roof and you got to get it done before the storm clouds come in at 2, and you got to burn that tar down fast enough or burn the rubber down that they use now, you look back and you're like, we did it. We made that accomplishment. And weirdly, when I drive around Detroit, I still look at buildings and I look for buildings, and sometimes I make a point of driving past buildings that I put the roof on. It's weird. Or I put a boiler in or whatever. When we were doing roofing, we did a lot of boiler work. We did a lot of interior work. We did a lot, probably weren't licensed to do any of it. I don't know. It wasn't my company. But when it rains, you got to do something. And I think I did that. It's still there. And I point it out to whoever I'm driving with and they go, yeah, I don't really care. But I don't care that they don't care, because I care. Anyway, you probably don't care either. But that's what occurs to me when I start opening my mouth. That's the way the world works. So I thought I'd say it, because that's what this show is about. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff to get to. The Democrats have gone off the damn deep end again. MSNBC is just about 2 or 3 days away for actively calling for the assassination of the president. That's really the only place else they have to go at this point. It's shocking. It is amazing how quickly these people, it's like Lord of the Flies over there. Society, civilization's rules, the civil society, they've gone out the window. It doesn't, everybody is unhinged. And it's like there's an award, like there's a big fat bonus check at the end of the week to the person who is voted batshit craziest. It's unbelievable. But first, I got to tell you about our sponsor, which is also unbelievable. I'm talking about Life Change Tea. I've been drinking it, and let me just take a sip right now. There it goes. Delicious and nutritious, and boy, does it make a difference. Life Change Tea, it is a game changer. Since I've been drinking Life Change Tea, I've got so much more energy, more pep in my step. It's helped get the yucks out of me. I ain't even kidding. How does it work? Life Change Tea, it's a proprietary herbal formula. It's a gentle daily cleanse designed to rid your body of, we'll just call them harmful intruders. Get that stuff that's been in you for far too long out of you. Let's face it, food was different a long time ago. It wasn't processed. It was free of pesticides. It was actually nourishing and healthy for your body. Today, not so much. Almost everything we eat is processed in some way or another. GMOs, pesticides, all that stuff has depleted the nutrition. It's no wonder you feel so run down. Try it for yourself. Go to GetTheTea.com. Just put it all one word, GetTheTea.com. Enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K. Hey, that's my name. At checkout, and you get free shipping. This stuff isn't available in stores. You get a bag of it. You get 8 bags. You get you make a gallon of it at a time. You drink it as an iced tea. It's not a hot tea, although you can heat up the iced tea, whatever you want, once you brew it. And believe you me, especially in the first few days, it'll clean you out. And then as you continue to drink it, it'll keep you cleaned out and you'll feel so much better. Get that stuff out of you. Go to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Don't forget promo code Derek to get free shipping. And thank you for supporting our sponsor. The fact that we have one is amazing to me. And the fact that it's a good one is amazing to me. And I owe that all to you. All right, enough of me sucking up to the audience. Let's get to the news. I have so much audio today and so much. It's hard to know where to start. It's hard to know where the insanity starts over there. I guess I'll start looking at the list here. I guess I'm going to start with Stephanie Ruhle. You knew it was going to happen. Before we get to the insane Trump wants genocide stuff, and yes, that's a theory being floated over there on MSNBC, along with secret Nazi codes in Trump's speech. Again, you're going to want to listen to the whole show probably twice. Gather the kids around, because the audio, you're going to say, did an adult human being really just say that? And you're going to want to rewind it and go, oh my God, an adult human being really did just say that. But I want to start off with Stephanie Ruhle, because this is something I knew was coming. I think I maybe even said it on this show that this was coming. The idea that this was going to be politicized, the shootings were going to be politicized. Of course, by Sunday, the day after the shootings, before we even had a complete body count, because another person tragically passed away on Monday night, Tuesday morning, Democrats were fundraising off of this. Kamala Harris sent out a fundraising. I think she was the first one to send out that breaking the hymen, exploiting a tragedy fundraising email. And then after that, it was game on. Democrats, to use a phrase of AOC, Democrats were running train on the fundraising bandwagon on tragedy, because that's what they do. That's how sick they are. Well, we knew it wasn't going to be long. I just didn't think it would take only until Tuesday before somebody tried to see who this benefited. How did this benefit anybody? Stephanie Ruhle, who I always have to preface this with who Stephanie Ruhle is, because she gets so disrespected. I don't know if it's because she's on during the day, or if it's because she's a woman, or if she's a joke. It could be any of those three, or a combination of all three, but she doesn't get the respect that she deserves as one of the top contenders for dumbest person on cable news. All the talk and all the award ceremonies praise Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo, and rightly so. They certainly are incredibly dumb people. And the minute or two handoff discussion that they have at the crossover of their show will make you dumber. Science, I believe, has proven that. But Stephanie Ruhle quietly has put together a stellar career of some of the dumbest things ever uttered by a human being. Some holiday week, I'm going to have to dedicate a show, an entire show, to just audio of Stephanie Ruhle and commenting on the audio of Stephanie Ruhle to give her the due that she deserves, maybe around Christmas. It'll be my Christmas gift to Stephanie Ruhle for the entertaining and head-scratching that she's provided a nation. Well, yesterday, she's having a discussion about, of course, El Paso, Dayton. It's kind of gone the way of the dodo. Today, the president is expected to go to both Dayton and El Paso. There will likely be protests there. No matter if there are 5 people, that's where the MSNBC and CNN reporters will be embedded. By the way, have you noticed CNN seems to have dispatched everybody to El Paso? I don't think Don Lemon is down there, but everybody else has been dispatched to El Paso. They're ignoring Dayton. Why wasn't, you know, if you're going to send Chris Cuomo and Anderson Cooper out into the field to report on these horrific shootings, there are two people, there are two cities. Why not one to one and the other to the other? But no, they're down in El Paso. So bizarre. It's almost like the liberal politics of the shooter in Dayton. It's going to memory hole that sucker as quickly as humanly possible. And you know that's exactly what's going to happen. That's how it rolls. It didn't happen. Just like most of the things that they call mass shootings. If you look, there's a couple of collages of the quote-unquote mass shooters. Because the left is claiming there have been more mass shootings this year than there have been days in the year. Of course, to count mass shootings, they include gang wars, things like that. If you look at the pictures, somebody put together on my TV, there's Chris Cuomo wearing an El Paso Strong shirt. Dayton, to hell with you. Dayton, forget it. Lefty did it. Nobody's interested. If you look at the montage, the collage of photographs of the mugshots of the mass shooters, of all the mass shootings so far this year, the narrative of the angry white racist, white nationalist, whatever you want to call it, white supremacist. You notice how white supremacist, I'll get onto that in a second. But it's blown up. It's blown up. The collage looks like America. There are people there of all different colors. It's weird. You know, if you really did a head count, you might find that there's more of one than the other, but why bother doing that? That's not what's important here. The point is, how many of them, take a look at it, find it out there, and ask yourself, how many of them have you heard of? How many of these people's mugshots have you ever seen? And then you begin to question, why in the hell were these people, if they're so horrible, if all of these things are happening constantly, why have I never heard of them? And then, if you think just for a second, it doesn't take long. You begin to realize as you glance back at the photographs why you haven't heard of them. When you hear the narrative of it's all white supremacy, this horrible, dangerous ideology that is on the verge of taking down the United States, my God. I'm loath to plug my book. I don't do it very often. Some people, including my publisher, say I don't do it enough. But in my book, Outrage Incorporated, I did a little bit of calculation. And I used liberal sources for it so that the left couldn't argue with it. And we're told constantly, and don't worry, I haven't forgotten about Stephanie Ruhle's stupidity. We will get to her audio. I did a little bit of calculation using the left's numbers. The numbers came from the Southern Poverty Law Center. Because we're told continually by Democrats, even before the presidential race started, but now especially, Cory Booker, Beto O'Rourke, they're all out there, this country, Elizabeth Warren, this country was founded on racism. Bernie Sanders says this. It is still fundamentally racist. All the institutions of government and all the institutions of society are fundamentally racist, and we have to rebuild the whole thing. And I thought, my God, if they're out there saying that, this country must be just overrun with racists, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. So I looked up the Southern Poverty Law Center. I wanted to see how many members of the KKK there were. The Ku Klux Klan, the granddaddy of all racist organizations. Well, there are certainly more and a bunch of racist organizations out there. Most of them have about five people in them. A couple of tramp stamp tattoos is how you get into it. The KKK is the big one. So if you're out there and you're a racist and you're looking for a group to join, you would think that would be the one you go to. Well, in 1916, when the population of the United States was somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 million people, there were an estimated 4 million members of the KKK. It was pretty easy to get that number. You just cross-reference the number of registered Democrats in the South. And you say, no, KKK. I'm only partially joking. But they were members of the KKK. They were the party of the KKK. They founded it, and it was their enforcement wing. You smash cut to 2016, 100 years later, and the Southern Poverty Law Center estimated that there were between 5 and 8,000 members of the KKK in a nation of 330 million people. So while the population of the country tripled in that 100 years, the members of the granddaddy of them all racist organization dropped to statistically a rounding error. If you take the average of what the Southern Poverty Law Center says, 5 and 8,000, so you take 6,500. In 2016, the WNBA, the least popular sport on the face of the earth, celebrated, and I footnote this in the book again, they celebrated the success of their season in 2016 because they'd had record average attendance at their games. And good for them. They should celebrate it. But the number of attendees to their games was 7,644. That was the average attendance. I might be off by a little bit there. I'm doing this from memory, but I believe it was 7,644. That means that on any given random, worthless, wildly unpopular WNBA game, there were more than 1,100 people there than are in the entirety of the KKK in the United States. On any Tuesday a WNBA game, there are more people in attendance than there are KKK members in the whole country. That is something we should absolutely be celebrating. In a nation of 330 million people, of course they're going to be racist, they're going to be bigots, they're going to be monsters. You can't have that many people together and not find jerks. That's just the reality of life. But to go from 4 million to fewer than attend WNBA games is a massive accomplishment. But you would never know that if you listened to the Democrats, if you watched MSNBC or you watched CNN. You would think behind every bush, there is a racist Klansman ready to kill you. They want you to think that. They want you to be scared to death. So when you look at the collage of the quote-unquote mass shooters this year, they don't want you to see that. They can't report on a mass shooting if the shooter isn't white. And I'll just leave it at that. If they aren't white, it didn't happen. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter. There was a mass shooting in Chicago on Saturday. 7 people in a park shot. Thankfully, none of them were killed, I don't believe. But 7 people shot in a park. Why? How? Who knows? Did you see the story? No, you probably didn't. Why? Because the shooter and the victims were, let's just say, off-white. And only white matters. Only white crime is what matters to the mainstream media. They really are disgusting, despicable people. And speaking of disgusting and despicable people, see, I didn't forget Stephanie Ruhle. She asked a question yesterday of her guest, the pressing question, and this sort of exposes what the left is trying to do here, all of them. She made the mistake of vocalizing what everybody is thinking. Who does this help? Who can exploit this the most? And she asks whether or not the murder of a bunch of people in a Walmart in El Paso, Texas, could be a big bump for Beto. I'm not kidding. Listen to it.
Maria, Beto has said he is running in the name of decency and democracy. As bad as this may sound, could this moment be a chance for Beto to gain some momentum?
I think so. I mean, when you look at who the president is most afraid of, you often hear within inner circles that Beto is the one that concerns him.
Yeah, Beto is the one that keeps Trump up all night. Oh my God, I might have to go up a guy who will convulse as he speaks, who sounds like Napoleon Dynamite had a kid with Butthead. But yeah, he can't. Just unbelievable. Stephanie Ruhle, you know, I hate bringing this up. If you have to say you hate bringing it up, you probably shouldn't bring it up. I mean, that should be an indicator. That, Stephanie, that voice in your head, I mean, I know the echo is something, it's hard to hear the voice in your head and understand it over the echo, but the voice in your head telling you maybe you shouldn't bring this up is probably one you should listen to, right? Am I wrong there? Hey, who can gain the most? It's King of the Hill, except the hill is a pile of dead bodies. And Democrats want to know who can benefit the most from this. Who will raise the most money off of this? This is how the liberal mind works. Stephanie Ruhle, I imagine everybody in the control room was sitting there going, oh, where's she going with this? Where is she going with this? Oh, my God, she went there. And yeah, we talked about that in the coffee room, and we talked about that in the pre-show meeting. You shouldn't have brought it up in front of Stephanie. She can't, you know, she has no filter. She has no brain to filter things through. She just spits it out. Don't mention stuff like this in front of Stephanie anymore. The person answering probably should have said, look, Stephanie, we can talk about that later. It's really inappropriate to talk about it now. And I don't even want to think about it now. But instead, nope, hey man, Beto could totally get a bump out of this. And Beto, of course, is counting on getting a bump out of this. Is he really helping down there in El Paso? No. What could he do? He's not a trained medic. He's not an elected member of Congress. He suspended his campaign to go back there because he knew that the media would be going there and he could be seen as the face of La Resistance against Trump's evil rhetoric that caused this. So he can go down there and call the president racist on MSNBC and CNN, and he doesn't even have to take a car back and forth from their studios. He can just walk 10 feet over and do hit after hit after hit. And MSNBC is cool with it. Hey, what are you going to do? Who benefits most from this? How long until the conga line of politicians running for president in the Democratic Party start making their way down there? Many of them are much closer to Dayton, Ohio, but you don't see Beto going there. You don't see any of them going there or really talking about there. They're talking about, well, though, the scourge of white supremacy. The scourge of white supremacy, that is the obsession. That's the new... Have you noticed that it used to just be called racism? It really just used to... They're racists. Racist covers white supremacy. It covers everything. You're a racist. You dislike somebody. You hate somebody because of their race. You think you're superior or that one skin tone is superior to another. That was called racism because, well, that's racism. But... Now they have to call it white supremacy, and they're calling it white supremacy all the time. Occasionally they slip up and throw the R word in there, but they quickly get back to white supremacy. Why? Because the left has spent the last 20 or 30 years telling people, especially in college campuses, that only white people can be racists. They want people to believe that because they instill hate. They try to instill hate into everybody. And what do you mean? How do you mean, Derek? What do you mean they're trying to instill hate in everybody? Well, what do you think you're trying to instill in somebody? What lesson do you think and what takeaway you're trying to get somebody to have if you tell them constantly that somebody is oppressing them? What do you think that you're trying to instill? Be afraid of them. Your district, for example, is loaded with boarded up houses and you're not in Hurricane Alley. And infested with rats and cockroaches and what have you. Not because of failed Democratic policies. It's because of racism. That's the only explanation for why a district that is continually getting worse and worse, like the ones in Baltimore, like the ones in Detroit, like the ones in Chicago, continually send Democrats, generation after generation, to represent them in Congress. If you're voting for the guy who your neighborhood had fallen apart during their tenure in Congress because of why? Why would you keep voting for that person? Because you're told by that person and the Democratic Party power structure that the alternative is worse. The alternative is racist. And now it's the alternative is white supremacist. You know, they could just use the term racist, but then you'd have to have an awkward conversation about why so many Democrats hang out with Louis Farrakhan. You'd have to have an awkward conversation about how Al Sharpton became a ring you have to kiss as a Democratic candidate. And you don't want to have those conversations. You'd have to have a conversation about Black Lives Matter protests, that protesters, members that kill cops. You know, remember the guy in Dallas who killed five police officers? He was a Black Lives Member matter, a member. That story was quickly memory holed. It just disappeared. Why? And we were told, and it was kind of funny, the guy in El Paso, part of his manifesto, used the word invasion. Now, if you got a better term for more than a million, like 1.3 million people coming across the southern border illegally than invasion, I'm open for it. But that's 10 times the number of soldiers who were storming the beaches of Normandy on D-Day. So I think if you're going to call D-Day an invasion, calling what's going on at the southern border an invasion, it doesn't indicate intent. It doesn't indicate negativism. It just indicates fact that if there's a better word, I'm open for it. But when it came to the Black Lives Matter killer of five police officers, we were inundated almost immediately with, there he may have attended, he wasn't an official member of Black Lives Matter, he may have attended a couple of Black Lives Matter events, but that doesn't mean that he's a member. Well, is there like a laminated photo ID card that you get to make you an official member of Black Lives Matter? Or do you go out and attend the events and you're just in? Is that it? A whole bunch of people just changed their Twitter avatars to it and suddenly they were members. So I would think that actually attending events, multiple events, as the shooter in Dallas did, as the cop killer in Dallas did, is a bigger indication of membership in the group than putting something in your on your Facebook feed, for example. But the media bent over backwards. No, he's not. He wasn't an official member. Oh, really? There's like a hazing you have to go through to become an official member? Is there some sort of dues that you have to pay to become an official member? No, there isn't. You just have to show up and participate. So that's what that guy did. And they tried to say, well, he was around the fringes of it. He observed some of them. Garbage. It didn't fit the narrative, so they had to quickly change it. It was going to damage something they were using to try and damage Republicans, so they had to rally around and protect its precious. That's what was going on then. But the guy in Texas, oh boy, howdy, he used a word that the president used in a speech 4 months ago. That means Donald Trump inspired this. He's responsible. He might as well have pulled the trigger. It's insane. It is unhinged, but it's the left. Speaking of insane and unhinged, we've got a few more clips of audio from MSNBC. It's all from MSNBC today. I didn't see anything from CNN. I can only imagine, but where to go from this? Let's go to Mika. We'll start off in the morning on Morning Joe. Mika. She looks like she is over-medicated most of the time. And you would be, too, if you had to put up with Joe. You just know that he hogs the mirror in the bathroom. They could have the dual vanity and double sinks, and Joe still wants to just look at him, and he wants nothing else in his reflection. So he probably elbows Mika out of the way. Careful, and I'm not going to make that joke. But he elbows her out of the way and stares at himself while he flexes and plays air guitar and make sure that there isn't a single hair out of place. So, Mika, I don't blame her for being medicated. I mean, if you woke up one day and realized that you were fooling around with Joe and you had to get a divorce, wouldn't you feel weird and need medication too? She, in this clip, says something that... every one of these clips, if you just reverse the parties, the talking heads would be calling for heads. Mika says essentially that Donald Trump wants mass murder. He wants more of these. He wants more mass. He's in favor of it. He loves it. He gets off on it. You think I'm exaggerating? I'm not. Listen to her through the Prozac.
Yeah. But there are a lot of things he can do.
But he won't. And so you have to ask the question, Joe. And I'll ask you. Isn't it okay to deduce that at this point, this is what he wants? He is inciting hatred, inciting violence, inciting racism. If he doesn't unequivocally call it off and say, this is wrong, and we stand together against this, and we are doing this, this, and this to help fight hate crime. I mean, this is a president who seems to want these things to happen.
If he doesn't call it off, like he's, you know, he's got this master flow chart in the Oval Office. And he's, all right, on Thursday, this guy's going to go. And then the following Tuesday, this one's going to snap. Send out the orders and have them standing by. And it's a go unless they hear contrary orders from me. That's what she's implying there. He seems to want this. If he doesn't call it off, if he doesn't come out and say, don't do this anymore, I'm can't. Remember that genocide I was about to cause? We're going to put that on a pause right now. We're going to see if we maybe can't get another way. This, of course, went unchallenged by Joe. They're both down in Florida, by the way. They suppose that they pretend like they're in New York or in Washington, D.C., depending on their backdrop, but they're actually in Florida. Why? Everybody else is in New York, but New York taxes the hell out of these people. They don't want to pay the taxes, so they go and they do their show from Florida. It's the same thing Rush Limbaugh did. I'm not going to pay these New York City taxes, New York State and New York City taxes. At least Rush is honest about it. They say, oh, we're down here to be closer to family. No, they're not. They're down there to dodge taxes. If you can't be doing your, if you can't be in studio to do your job, the vast majority of the time, you shouldn't have your job. It drives me nuts when I see any of these people just phoning it in from their basement studio. Like, you're paid millions of dollars. Show up and do your damn job. Actually, being there is the hardest part of your job. So the rest of it is just spewing nonsense, like the president won't call off these mass shootings because he wants them. He likes them. He loves them. And nobody challenged him. Nobody said, wait a second. I think that's a little bit harsh. You might be going a little bit extreme there, Mika. You might have only taken half a Prozac today, and you probably need to up your dose. Nope, it just went out, and it was accepted. But it wasn't, and you think, well, that's a hell of a way to start the day on MSNBC. That wasn't the craziest thing said on MSNBC, not for a long shot. You already heard Stephanie Ruhle, and while she was just stupid, she didn't podium on the craziest thing said on MSNBC. What you just heard, Mika there, she wins the bronze medal. There's still a silver and a gold to come. And we give the silver, oh geez, where should we start? You know, just from a pure crazy standpoint, we got to go with this one over the other. So the silver medalist is Nicole Wallace. Nicole Wallace worked in the Bush White House. She worked on the McCain campaign. Remember the McCain campaign in 2008, how wildly successful that was? Why wouldn't you want to hire somebody who worked on the McCain campaign? If you want the pulse of politics in America, you go to somebody who got their ass handed to them in their presidential run. You hire Nicole Wallace. Well, of course, you hire Nicole Wallace because she's not a conservative. You hire Nicole Wallace because she attacks Sarah Palin. She attacks, that's how she became noted. She was a nobody in the McCain campaign. But once she started criticizing Sarah Palin, suddenly the network started lining up and saying, who is this woman who attacks Sarah Palin? We got a bunch of dudes who want to attack Sarah Palin, but can't because they're dudes. So let's hire this woman. We get a twofer. We get somebody we can call a Republican, who really isn't a conservative, but we can call them a Republican, and they'll gleefully attack Republicans. It's awesome. And then they ultimately gave her a show. Well, what you're about to hear is a discussion that, again, goes unnoticed, goes unremarked upon by the person that she's talking to. When she accuses the president of the United States of wanting genocide against Hispanic. I'm not kidding. She says that he wants to exterminate Latinos. Again, you think, well, what words did she use, Derek? You know, this is your interpretation. It could go either way. You're always talking about people implying things from what somebody said. Don't you dare do it yourself, Derek. Okay, I won't do it. I'll let her say those exact words herself.
The last Republican president fought for, sought, and it's not ideal, but had 44% of the Latino vote. It was, so politically powerful inside the last Republican administration. President Obama used the power of the presidency to try to pass comprehensive immigration reform with the Latino community, Latino leaders at the table. You now have a president, as you said, talking about exterminating Latinos.
It's not even, to me, it's not even a question of what this president is could do. I and it brings me no pleasure saying this. I just think with this administration, it is too late.
I told you. You now have a president talking about, as you said, exterminating Latinos. Really? Where was that? Where was that? Of course, he didn't say that. He didn't say anything remotely close to that or anything that could be bastardized and interpreted as that. She just made it up. This guy just made it up. They just both made it up and pretended that he said it. Well, Donald Trump wants to exterminate Latinos. What are you going to do? That's the way it is. If they say it, it must be true. Well, it was a lie. She was called out on it. And later, after her program, she tweeted the following, quote, "I misspoke about Trump calling for an extermination of Latinos. My mistake was unintentional, and I'm sorry." That would be fine and all. Well, it wouldn't be believable, but it would be fine if that's where the tweet ended. But that is not where the tweet ended. She continued, quote, again, "Trump's constant assault on people of color and his use of the word invasion to describe the flow of immigrants is intentional and constant." Again, I'm sorry I misspoke, but I, you know what, he really means it anyway. Big deal. Who cares? Now, I don't know if you know how many people work on a television show. On a radio show, there's generally, well, on a local radio show, there's two people that work on it, the producer and the host. It depends on how lazy the host is, how much work the producer does. That's just how it is. When it comes to nationally syndicated shows, they could have as many as a dozen people working on it. They've got websites to maintain. They are constantly doing research. You got a whole team of people. And you'd be surprised how many people it takes to put on a big nationally syndicated radio show. A cable news program takes dozens of people to work on it. Every camera has someone behind it. There's the microphone person. There are usually a couple of microphone people. There are people in the control room choosing which cameras to do. There are producers upon producers upon producers. Each producer gets a segment or two to produce during the program. So you begin to see that there could be upwards of 40 people working on a television show, an hour of television. And you watch most of these hours of television, you go, it doesn't even seem like there's one person working on this crap. I'm right there with you. But there are dozens of people working on it. I would say there's not a television show out there that doesn't have at least two dozen people working on it. So that means that of the, we'll just use two dozen people who were involved in putting the Nicole Wallace television show, I guess it's called Deadline White House. Of the two dozen people who are involved in putting that show on the air, not a one of them heard Nicole Wallace say that we have a president who is calling for the extermination of Latinos and thought, that's not right. Wait a second. And could correct her on air. She's wearing an earpiece, an IFB, they're called. Every time you go on TV, when I was on Shannon Bream last week, you had to put that thing in your ear. You can hear all the chatter, and they can specifically talk to the host. They do. Many of the hosts are fed questions and fed real-time updates in case somebody says something that's a lie. The host can't quickly look it up online, but the producers do. That's why you get a whole team of people there. They whisper and talk to these people constantly. Not a one of them, not a single person heard that Donald Trump wants and has called for the extermination of Latinos and said, wait a second. Hey, Nicole, he didn't say that. You need to correct that. Not a one of them. Until the show was over, No one said anything. It didn't occur to her. It didn't occur to the guest. It was apparently a columnist for USA Today. You would think somebody involved in this process would hear somebody saying the president has called for genocide of Hispanics and go, that doesn't sound right. And go to Nicole Wallace and say, this is not true. You just said this. Maybe you didn't realize you said it, but you've got to correct it on air. Nope, didn't happen. Didn't happen on air. She had to go to her Twitter account to do it. And then in acknowledging her error as much as she did, she then, of course, had to do what liberals always do, take an extra swipe at Donald Trump. What I said was factually inaccurate, but it was right in spirit because he's a monster. Moving on. There will be no repercussions, no ramifications, no consequences for Nicole Wallace telling her audience that the president wants to commit genocide. They're trying to find political advantage in any and everything they possibly can to disparage Donald Trump. So they just get away with it. It just goes on. There are no standards left in journalism. Now, what you just heard is absurd. What you just heard is obscene. What you just heard is disgusting. And what you just heard was not the craziest thing said on MSNBC yesterday. How do you top that? How do you go crazier than Nicole Wallace saying that the president wants to commit genocide? Turns out it's not easy, but he made it look easy. The former assistant director of the FBI, and I'm going to butcher this dude's name. His name is Frank Figliuzzi. I don't know. It is Figliuzzi. You figure out how to pronounce it. He is an MSNBC contributor. Why? Because why not? He was in the Obama administration. Of course, they just, you worked for the president? You worked for Obama? You worked for my president? We'll hire you. Here's six figures. Sit there and spew the craziest crap you possibly can. And he outdid himself. He earned every dollar of his paycheck, Frank did. Now think, this is one of the guys who under James Comey helped run the FBI. Think about the bullets we dodged with these lunatics. I present to you now, because I don't even know how to set this up. I don't know how to begin to pretend. It has to do with numerology and secret Nazi codes. And you think, what? Yeah, think what? You're gonna think what even after you hear this. But it has to do with when the president has, the president ordered the flag at the White House to be at half mast during a period of mourning that happens to end tomorrow on August 8th. There's a secret Nazi code in there. I'm not kidding. I left this cut a little bit long because you would think he was talking to Brian Williams. You would think Brian Williams would, being the former anchor, the former face of NBC News until he was discovered to be a complete and total fraud, placing himself in war zones and death and despair, just making stuff up. You'd think he would be interested in maintaining some shred of credibility. So I left it on there to prove to you that Brian Williams didn't come back and say, wait a second, you're talking crazy here, and you're really off the reservation, and I want to disassociate myself from those remarks. That didn't happen. Brian Williams just kind of moved on and actually embraced this crazy numerology stuff. So that's why I left Brian Williams on at the end. But I now present to you our gold medal winner for the craziest thing said on MSNBC this week.
We have to understand the adversary and the threat we're dealing with. And if we don't understand how they think, we'll never understand how to counter them. So it's little things and language and messaging that matters. The president said that we will fly our flags at half mast until August 8th. That's 8-8. Now, I'm not going to imply that he did this deliberately, but I am using it as an example of the ignorance of the adversary that's being demonstrated by the White House. The numbers 8-8 are very significant in neo-Nazi and white supremacy movement. Why? Because the letter H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. And to them, the numbers 8-8 together stand for Heil Hitler. So we're going to be raising the flag back up at dusk on 8/8. No one's thinking about this. No one's giving him the advice, or he's rejecting the advice. So understand your adversary to counter the adversary.
I know you're keeping your options open there, Frank, but as chilling as that is to hear, you're saying it is possible that someone who knows better is authoring or editing the words that show up and are read verbatim, or are supposed to be read verbatim, by the president.
Yeah, that's serious news, man, Brian Williams there at the end. But can you believe that crap? This is the former, maybe these, little cabals of neo-Nazis around the corner, 12 guys drinking Natural Light, plotting the overthrow of the U.S. government, but too fat to get off the tail of their trucks to go do anything about it. They sit there and play the numerology game, and I don't even believe that. That is 8/8. The eighth letter of the alphabet. What is this? Do you need to break out the Enigma machine every time the president speaks? Is that what you guys are doing? If that's secret Nazi code, that's pretty lame. Eight is the eighth letter in the alphabet. So that's obviously secret code. But how does Brian Williams not go, I have to quit? I can't believe I've sunk to this point in my career. I know I'm making $10 million a year, but I have to quit. I know I don't have any credibility left, or much credibility left, but I can't watch the last vestiges of it just go up in smoke. Nope. Brian Williams goes, whoa, wait, you're saying that people who know better, there are people in the government who know this secret Nazi code, and they're letting it go out there. I heard that. Originally on Twitter, somebody I'd never heard of, had filmed it with their phone, and somehow the video got screwed up, and it happens occasionally, and you have to change the channel, at least on my cable, where the lips and the words aren't synced. You change, flip around the channels, and somehow it corrects itself, whatever it is. The new feed comes through, and it works. So the video that I originally saw that in, the lips didn't sync up, and I'm thinking, did somebody do like a bad lip syncing thing for this? Because the lips aren't syncing up. I'd never heard of this guy before. I don't regularly watch MSNBC. So it could have been just somebody playing it on mute, filming it, and reciting this insanity. So I did a little bit of searching, and I found the actual video of it. And oddly enough, weirdly enough, strangely enough, and pervertedly enough, it was on MSNBC's official YouTube page. They'd posted it themselves. So I got it at a much better audio quality, and I watched it in much better video quality, and I saw, because the version I saw didn't have the Brian Williams sort of earnest look of concern of, oh my goodness, they mean they're sending out these secret Nazi codes in the president's speech by raising the flag back up after 5 days of mourning? They put it out there. Like, who goes, all right, control room, get that clip and put it out there. The world needs to know, not just the audience who are watching Brian Williams' show, the entire world. Put this on the internet. They put this out themselves. They believe this crap. This is the mentality of the left. And even Frank's kind of going, I'm not saying he's doing it. Well, then why are you saying it? Then why are you saying it at all? Because a normal human being wouldn't even think that. But it's this whole idea that what Donald Trump says is riddled with dog whistles. If you're hearing dog whistles everywhere, maybe you're a dog. Did you ever think of that? If you hear racism in everything, maybe you're race-obsessed. Maybe you're the racist. But again, we don't call racists racist anymore. They're white supremacists, because off-white people cannot be racists. If you're non-white, you can go ahead and hate anybody you want. You can go on killing sprees. You can do whatever you want. It won't be racially motivated, because you can't be a racist. You're a victim of oppression somewhere down the line, somehow, and all will be forgiven. The mainstream media won't bother with you. But if you do anything tomorrow on August 8th, know that if you even go grocery shopping or stop and get gas, somewhere, if somebody looks at you with a weird look and wink and a nod or whatever, they're probably a neo-Nazi. And they think you're a neo-Nazi too, because neo-Nazis would fill their cars up on 8-8. And you get that knowing look like, oh, you too, huh? Yeah, 8-8. I don't have any doubt that there are some loons out there who might buy into this crap if this is a real thing. I think more likely that these loons out there, these Nazi freaks of nature, make this crap up, you know, just to see in case there's an FBI agent in our midst or our phones are being bugged. Let's say some really crazy crap and see if we can't get them to believe it. And they clearly do. But what is that, 12 people on the planet who go around going 8-8, that secret code for Heil Hitler? If you have an inclination to Heil Hitler, I really don't think you're going to be sitting around devising a secret code to do it. If you're that screwed up, if you're that crazy, if you're that evil, you're probably just going to do it. Call me crazy, but I don't even know what to say. It's so stupid. Speaking of stupid, Congressman Joaquin Castro, his brother Julian Castro, is running for president of the United States. Congressman Julian Castro has decided to put out a list of people in his district. He's a member of Congress in good standing. He's heading up, I believe, his twin brother. They're twins. His twin brother's campaign for president. He decided in his congressional race that he was going to release a list of everybody in his district who donated the maximum amount possible to Donald Trump's reelection campaign. I swear to God, a list of their names and where they work. Now, why would you do that? You do that because you want to unleash the army of flying progressive monkeys to go and harass these people. Just yesterday, there were people outside Mitch McConnell's home screaming and yelling, saying, stab him in the effing heart. I wish he would have broken his scrawny neck. So it's not beyond the realm of possibility. Now, it's kind of funny because liberals have just spent the last 3 days talking about how Donald Trump's rhetoric caused what happened in El Paso. It caused it. There is no doubt in their minds that it caused it. So then you see Joaquin Castro from his campaign account tweeting, quote, sad to see so many San Antonians as 2019 maximum donors to Donald Trump. The owner of Bill Miller Barbecue, owner of Historic Pearl, realtor Phyllis Browning, etc. Their contributions are fueling a campaign of hate that labels Hispanic immigrants as invaders. And then he's got a graphic there. It says, who's funding Trump? In 2019, these 44 San Antonio donors contributed the most allowable by federal law. And there they are, their names and where they work. Many of them are retired. The rest of them have their company names. Now, the maximum allowable that you can donate is $2,500. So you're not necessarily dealing with millionaires and billionaires here, a group of people that Joaquin Castro and his fellow travelers in the Democratic Party routinely demonize. These could well be small business owners. This could, judging by some of the names he put out, they likely are. These could just be people who are conservatives and want to support the Republican president. It doesn't matter. Implicit in there is these people are haters. Now, given a week of the media and Democrats calling Donald Trump a neo-Nazi and a racist and a white supremacist, he's essentially calling his constituents white supremacists, too. And he's given a nice hit list to any unstable leftists out there who want to stick it to Donald Trump but can't go to Washington, D.C. or don't want to deal with the hassle of the Secret Service. Maybe they're not going to kill him. Maybe they'll just show up at their houses. But I guarantee you these 44 people who live in San Antonio, these 44 Americans, their lives have changed. At least for now, even though Castro appears to have deleted the tweet. It's out there and the internet is forever. He also spent the day trying to justify his doxing of these people. And a lot of people on the left are saying, it's different, this is publicly available information. Yes, it is publicly available information. You still have to set it on the tee for them. The fact that there are waves and waves of illegal immigrants crossing the southern border is publicly available information, but that Donald Trump 4 months ago said it was an invasion somehow inspired mass murder 4 months later at a Walmart. You can begin to see that they don't like to hold themselves to the same standards that they hold everyone else to. It is total and complete hypocrisy. Congressman Castro should be ashamed of himself. He should be denounced and renounced from every corner of the political spectrum. But he's not. He's not. Why is he not? Because the left hates anybody who isn't of the left. And if you want to go after anybody who isn't of the left, you can do so in any way, shape, or form you so choose. You can stand and scream and disrupt a neighborhood in front of their house. You can call for their murder. It's all good. Hell, you might even get booked on MSNBC. Joe Scarborough, longtime friend of Donald Trump, sees no problem in this now, and has a problem, of course, with Donald Trump, because he pointed out how his third wife had a nose job, which she did. She should have had a brain, I would say, transplant, but that's giving her too much credit. She should have had one implanted. He sort of picked up this mantle. Joe Scarborough tweeted out, quote, "If your business funds Trump's campaign, then you are supporting white supremacy. Full stop. Look at his rallies. Listen to the chants of send her back. Hear the calls of shoot them. Your money funds that. Your business supports that. You are complicit." He's telling his followers. They are giving pre-absolution to any leftist who stands up, quote unquote, to the horrors of Donald Trump and Republicans. They are the party of hate. They are the party of monsters. They must be stopped. If you are supporting them, you are them. And you can be destroyed. You must be destroyed. This is how it works. Now, the Dayton shooter was a committed leftist, a big fan of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, likely voted for the mayor, Nan Whaley, of Dayton, Ohio. Will she be held account for that? How do we know that it wasn't her words and the words of Morning Joe that didn't cause that person to go off the edge and kill 9 people and wound 24 more? We don't know that. Yet so many conservatives are out there saying, look, I'm not going to blame the left because some lefty went nuts and killed a bunch of people in Dayton. That would be stooping to their level. It's not stooping to their level. It's holding them to their same rules. You absolutely should say that. The Morning Joe set is splattered in the blood of the people of Dayton. There is no doubt about that. The killer shared their politics. If you watched Morning Joe even before the events of last weekend, they were calling the president a Nazi. They were calling him a white supremacist. They've only upped the frequency of their insanity, not the intensity of it. So, yes, I say absolutely call out these leftists for their responsibility. There's as much evidence they're responsible in Dayton as there is that Donald Trump is responsible in El Paso, especially considering part of the El Paso manifesto has to do with the evils of corporations and the dangers to the environment, protecting the environment. He also sounds like he's a half Morning Joe viewer, or was. So we can give him half the responsibility for El Paso and all the responsibility for Dayton if we're holding them to their own rules. But I'm getting sick of these conservative pearl clutchers who say it's outrageous that they're doing that. And meanwhile, the left doesn't stop doing that. The right just says, well, I'll take comfort in the fact that I am better, that we are better than them. We shall take the high road in this case. How's that working out for us so far? How's that working out? The high road in a battle for in politics, in a battle for where this country is going to go and whether or not we're going to embrace the leftist fascism that they want to impose. The high road only means that you get a nice view of the destruction as you motor on your way to losing. Hold their feet to the fire. Hold them accountable. Hold them to their own damn standards. Maybe, just maybe then, probably not, but maybe You'll get them to change their evil ways, their crazy ways, their wicked ways, their manipulative ways. Because you know these people, half of them don't believe this, and the other half are too dumb to know what it means. It just drives me nuts. We should not stoop to their level. Why not? They're beating us about the head and neck, and you want to, with a baseball bat, and you want to play by the Marcus of Queensbury rules? No. Hold them to their same standards, and then if they realize how evil what they're doing is, how stupid and how corrupt what they're doing is, and how full of lies what they're doing is, then we'll stop. Only then will we stop. They created these rules. They got to live by them. It's their medicine. They've got to take it. That it's a spiky suppository is their fault, not ours. And on that charming note, that is all the time we have for today. You can email me. Let me know that I'm wrong. A couple of you emailed me. You're so cynical yesterday. I was, and I'm a cynical person. But this is disgusting. Individual responsibility is supposed to matter. It's not the inanimate object that does it. It's the person who does it. Maybe you should find out why people do this. And it's too simplistic to say, oh, he heard the president speak 4 months ago. Really? Millions of people heard the president speak 4 months ago. Millions of people have heard the president speak forever. They always say, well, it's causing a rise in mass shootings. And then they don't point out that, that collage that I was telling you about, that most of the people on it don't necessarily meet the description of the media. They don't show it because they don't want you to think it. They want you to think it's a whole bunch of crazy white supremacists doing it. But again, the facts tell a different story. Anyway, we are long, so I'm sure we'll have more opportunity to talk about it. And maybe MSNBC will beat their crazy record for today. Thank you for sharing, and thanks for telling a friend. Email me, Derek, at Daily Caller, like I said, and be back here tomorrow.
You now have a president, as you said, talking about exterminating
right.
Latinos.